Hello, everyone. Look who's here and look who's not in her seat yet. Holly's ready to go. Justin's ready to go.
It's just us.
Just us?
Yeah.
What about my favorite daughter?
It's just us.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just the three of us?
Yeah. There might be a fourth here. We just can't see them.
Harvey the rabbit.
Sure.
Harvey the 6-foot rabbit's here as well. Say hello to Harvey. He says hello back. Morgan's looking at me totally dumbfounded. You never heard of Harvey the 6-foot rabbit? Really? Oh, famous rabbit.
I found him.
You did find Harvey? You got an image?
Yeah, I really hope this isn't who is sitting next to me.
That's his 6-foot rabbit, tall guy, big ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Harvey. Say hi to Harvey and Morgan. Okay. So,
I didn't need to know that.
Really? You didn't?
No, that's...
Well, welcome to my friend Harvey.
Okay.
We have spent many nights in many a bar together.
In the rabbit costume?
Harvey does not wear a costume. That is Harvey. That's not a costume. Harvey is a 6-foot rabbit. But to most people, they can't see him.
Okay. Would you like to know our theme for this evening?
I would love to know our theme for this evening.
Our theme is... It gets better because we're all going through something. Some people are going through really hard things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels nice to hear that other people are also going through similar things. And even though there might not be a lot of advice to give sometimes, mm-hmm. I think it's nice to know that there's others around you kind of out there fighting through it as well.
Yeah. And I think what happens is that we all are tested consistently in life with different life events. And that's part of what life is. There's good times and there's bad times, but we do get through them. So don't despair. Just keep your tact, move forward, keep yourself busy. And let's hear some of the stories and let's see what we got.
Yeah. And this is the chance for everyone in the comments to go and share your experience in these matters with these people and mm-hmm. let them feel heard.
And also, we all want you to make sure that you see that we have, even though she's totally uninterested, Holly's with us tonight.
And the socks.
And we have kisses. Just to let you know, it does get better. So here's kisses to you.
Very good.
Okay.
And Holly's here to say that too.
Yes.
Okay. Let's do it.
Roll on. Story number one.
Trigger warning, this one contains talks of a tragic loss. Hi, Jerry, and all others joining.
She goes, leave me alone. Don't worry, Holly, it gets better.
I, 25 female, need advice on something very important and hard. January of 2023, my sister, 27 female, was killed in a car accident. She was the most beautiful, loving person. She was so smart and caring and was one of those people who would get excited about even the smallest of things. Well, I'm getting married this year. I always envisioned her helping me plan my wedding. She was always good at planning things. We are dedicating the colors of our wedding to her by making it a pink and green wedding because those were her favorite colors. My other sister, 30 female, is my maid of honor and is helping me with everything, and we are doing what we can, but it's hard. And I can't afford a wedding planner. I want to do something for my sister. Everyone in my family will be walking down the aisle, and I want for her to be able to walk down the aisle in a way too, but I don't know what to do. Whether it is making her a bouquet and having someone else carry it, or making a little monument to have stand up there with me. It is so painful because this is supposed to be a blissfully happy day, but there is a weight being casted over it because no matter how happy I will be, there will be an aching hole in my heart. Do you have any ideas on what to do? Nothing seems pretty or elegant enough for her and her memory. I'm getting married on the beach, so we'll have to fit with that setting. Also, do you have any advice on how I can maybe have a more positive outlook on the day? I'm not religious, so I don't really believe in heaven, but I guess I believe in energy and her energy. My soon-to-be husband doesn't want to overstep and can't really help because with being in the military, he was never able to get to know her very well before she passed. He is amazing and on board for anything. He hasn't fought a single thing I've wanted to do for her with the wedding. He's the only person I want by my side through my grief. He supports me and holds me when I cry, never getting frustrated if I have outbursts of grief. I can't wait to marry the man of my dreams. Do you have any advice for how I can allow my sister to also celebrate this day with me and our family?
Well, the one thing that we've always done in this show is we've always done everything extemporaneously. I've never known a pre-story. And your story really does rock because there's so many facets as there is in a stone, a diamond. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what can you do to tribute her memory, to show that she's walking with you as you're walking down. And, you know, when you talked about the extra bouquet and you talked about her favorite flowers, or a bouquet for her, and someone else would carry it, I don't know if maybe you carry it. And you carry a flower, you know, a setting that has a flower. And I would also thought about having one shoe as pink and one shoe as green as when you're walking down, because that is where she is walking with you. And even though she can't walk down with you, but if she's, you're wearing one shoe representing her right foot and one shoe wearing her left foot, and that memory, people are going to know that you did that. And later on, as you, when someone makes a toast, you could even toast the fact of her spirit being with you because you carry it along with you. And I think I would take that tact. I think it's very, very sweet. And I really do. And I do believe in energy being a part of it. And I think that she'll get a kick of it. So that's my thought on that one.
Yeah, I just think whatever, as you envision the day, I would almost kind of walk down the hallway in the house I'm in right now and imagine, okay, if I was carrying the bouquet or if it was something that was already pre-placed, what feels right? You know, I don't have any creative ways, just, you know, spur of the mind right now, but I like the shoes, but anything, any little things I think that you can have pre-planned and made for that, I don't think you can do wrong. I don't think you'll make a wrong decision and be like, like I screwed that one up. It's just every possible thing you can do to have her included, I think will just make that day so fulfilling
for
you.
And I think you should also bear this in mind. If she were here physically with us, I don't think she'd want to take your day either. So you can't let it take your day, but you can certainly let it be a part in enhancing your moment and your day. That's the most important thing, is that you know that you did something to and show her that you thought about her and she was a part of it. It's not for anyone else really to, it's, you know, they may think about it, they may know about her, they may not even know about her. You know, depends who's there.
Yeah.
But it's really important that this is something that you want to share with her and you want her to be a part of it. And that's a tasteful way of doing it, not going overboard.
Right. And I think that'll also have, you know, for the advice on a more positive outlook on the day, I think that plays a big role. Is it is your day. It's you and your soon to be husband's day. And then including her in some facet is going to make it powerful. But I feel like probably the closer you get to it, I think your outlook will be more positive, and I think you're going to have an amazing day when it comes. It's just figuring out which of these options feels the best for you, and then just choosing and going forward. I think, you know, we all hype up and get really nervous for these big days, and then the day of, it's like, it's better than you could have imagined versus it being like, what if this goes wrong? What if this goes wrong? Because that's all the worry leading up. But
keep it simple, but keep the day as simple as you can so you don't have to have everything go, worry about anything derailing. But I think that you will have a good laugh to yourself and her spirit will have a good laugh to see what you did.
Yeah. Something Morgan's friend Kate did is she printed a picture of her grandma and had it in this little locket picture frame and tied that around her bouquet that she carried around with her all day. And that was kind of her version of that. People also do those tables where it's wish they were still here with us to celebrate and then have pictures and you could still do the name tags and fully set it as if, you know, they are there because with the energies of these people, they may as well be sitting there and they probably could be. So I think that's another couple little ideas to add to the mix. But our people, this is where we need them. They're going to come out of the woodwork with a whole bunch of stuff we didn't think about.
We're waiting to see it.
And I think there will be some really nice
comments
on this.
Read the comments on story number one.
On all of them.
But especially one.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right, because we're going to have some special ones for number two, number three, number four, number five. So are we moving on now to number?
Yes.
Two.
Number two, Holly.
Hold up. She said, oh, 2 years.
I like this. This is new. Hello, Jerry and company.
Hello.
I am a 42-year-old female who is recently an empty nester. I had my first daughter at age 22, then 24, and now they are in college. My husband and I have been married 21 years and have a great relationship. I am needing advice because I am struggling with the parent transition. Instead of being the CEO, I am now demoted to the consultant, where I now listen to them and give advice, but I have to hold back the momming I am used to try and fix or control their situations. The other thing is that I am recently new to our area and have zero friends. I feel lonely sometimes, and while I love spending time with my husband, there are times I need others to hang out with in my life. I have just spent so much time focusing on my girls that I have nothing for myself in terms of a social life. I need advice on how to get back out there at my age and how to best transition to the next phase of parenting adults.
This is a good one.
Very
good.
Again,
another good one.
I don't know if we've ever hit that topic.
No, this is great, actually, because this one, I deal with this every day. And you're 40, she's 42, and I'm 66, but, you know, my kids are, you know, they're young adults. And some are easy. Some, you know, have their life and they don't expect anything. And then there's other ones that need more attention as you have it. But the one thing that they don't want is to be told what to do. So, and I have nephews and nieces too that are, you know, now well in their 40s, actually 50 now, 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And I've learned boundaries. And boundaries are really important for us as parents and aunts and uncles. And so, an interesting story, real quick one. My niece and nephew are going through some issues with their father. Yep. And, you know, it's making some choices and decisions. And bottom line was, I sent a, I saw that what they were doing is going to get out of control eventually. In the beginning, they have no choice but to take some decisions and choices they have. But I sent them some images of some other options they can do. And so my nephew said, I can't deal with this right now. I'm doing this. And I said, I didn't send this to you to go deal with anything. Yeah. I sent this to you simply that you were able to get a visual and I'm out from this point. That's all this was. It's not telling you what to do. I just wanted to give you a visual.
Kind of like us with the listeners.
Kind of like us with the will.
And like, here's our advice. Here's our take. And
perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Yes. Perfect. And even with you guys, I don't get too involved in telling you guys what to do at all. I mean, I may have an idea on something or want to show you something as you're doing and say, hey, you might want to look at this. Here's an option. And then I back away totally. I never say it twice. Unless, I don't think I do. And if I have, it's because obviously I felt pretty passionate about it that I'll give it one more little jab.
Yes.
And take my chance. But typically I don't.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that is the number one thing when you're talking with your kids. And now that you're an empty nester, let them fly. I mean, we've worked all these years to get them to be able to make decisions and choices. And yeah, they're going to make mistakes and you're going to watch it. And all you can say is, yep, I've made that mistake, but you know, you got to let them do it and they'll learn quicker. And
that is true.
And it's okay. So you just got to back up on that one. Now let's talk far as you and going on and finding use for yourself.
Yep.
You know, this is the next stage of your life. And you may decide you want to volunteer. You may decide you want to start a business. You may decide you like to paint and you want to go sell your paint. You want to be a photographer. You want to be a dancer. You want to be an executive of an AI corporation. Whatever, yeah. Whatever you decide to go dive into something and just get the motor going so you don't feel that you're not doing anything.
Right.
I have a friend that, she wanted to do a podcast and she's an empty nester now. Same thing. And I said, get up in the morning and while you're walking, video yourself for 15 minutes with a thought of a day. And she started doing it. And I'm listening. She's, putting him in the Dropbox and I'm watching her and I'm seeing, I go, this is progress. And she goes, well, I'd like to change it. I said, that's perfect. At least you got the motor going.
Yep.
And so she's starting and she's developing and it's not going to be anything like it is where she started.
Yep.
But it will be something because she's going to keep going.
Yes.
And it does take this metamorphosis. So you got to keep going, moving forward, in life, that's what we do. You get up, right foot in front of the left, left in front of the right, keep going. And we are moving forward in something. If you like it and you enjoy it and you go into it with the fact that you're kind of enjoying having fun, mm-hmm. It can't help but hit.
Yeah.
It's when you're doing things that are against your grain that becomes effort and it's not fun. And then you feel drained and it's all negative.
Yeah.
So just let's start somewhere.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. You're 42. You got a lot of time left. Mm-hmm. A lot of time.
Yeah.
And so one thing I'm certain of is that I know you have passions. Mm-hmm. You may have gotten really far away from these passions, mm-hmm. or you may never have tapped into some of the passions you have, but just don't know. Now is an awesome opportunity to go explore that.
And I got another thought too. You've been with this guy for 21 years and you guys have raised children together. And that has been the focus of you, your lives as a couple, as your kids. But now you can also take a chance in doing something together where you guys may find something to have fun and develop your own passion together where you can build it. That's outside the kids.
Yeah.
And that will help, with your relationship.
Yeah.
Because all that, that's a different dynamic of being a couple when you were 19 and 20 than being a couple now when you're 42. So there is, development there too, that you guys can find something that the two of you guys can also do as well. I'm not saying not do something by yourself. Definitely.
You need to have
both.
100%.
Yep.
And whatever you find to be your passions out, just you, mm-hmm. what do you like to do? Mm-hmm. Let's go explore. Oh, I don't know what I like to do anymore. I've lost sight of that. Go try the huge list it's endless. And then that will help also with your social life. It'll mm-hmm. help you with friends. It'll help. It opens so many doors.
It does.
And it's really the hardest part is taking the effort to get yourself together, get out the door and go do something.
I agree.
That's the hardest step. Once you're there, the rest will just happen. Whatever it is.
Because no matter what it is, people, you will come in contact with people and you will come get in contact with a network. And with that network, you make friends.
Yeah. And it's kind of, this one is exciting to me because you don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know. You have such an opportunity here where you've done everything. Like you've been there, you've done it. You got the kids, you set up your life and now you just got the most valuable thing we have.
Now you're going to ride a wave.
Time.
Yeah. You're going to ride
a wave. Now you have a bunch of time to go just live it up.
See where this wave takes you.
Yeah. Also, in additional info, I really like this. Currently in therapy for the parenting transition coaching, which is awesome. That's really cool. I didn't even know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Alongside of that, we're now going to get a bunch of ideas for you from our people.
Comments.
Things you may not have thought of, things maybe your one therapist might not have thought of because they're only one person. Mm-hmm. Bunch of ideas coming your way.
So now you got to read the comments on only number one, but we also have to read the comments on number two.
Every story.
Well, let's see. We're going to reserve judgment, but we'll see.
We'll hit one and you'll be like,
nah, don't worry about those.
Onward.
One of this week's partners is ZocDoc. When it comes to your health, you gotta stop compromising. It doesn't feel good going to doctors that treat you terribly, don't respect you as a person, and aren't even willing to get you the answers you're trying to find. The doctor is where you feel worse leaving the appointment than you did when you got there. That is not going to be the case with ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. I've been using ZocDoc since 2015, long before the podcast ever existed. I found my gynecologist. Lauren found her gastro. With ZocDoc, you can read real patient reviews so you know before you go in if that doctor is going to believe you, how their bedside manner is and how they treat their patients, and if those patients are actually having good results. So give ZocDoc a try and find a doctor that actually makes you feel good. Go to ZocDoc.com/FKS and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/FKS. ZocDoc.com/FKS.
Number three. Trigger warning on this one. There is mention of suicide.
I, 23 female, lost my dad to suicide about 2 weeks ago. Without all the details, 2 days before, he did something for me that would majorly help me in school, but instead of being happy and appreciative, I was concerned because it felt like he was preparing to leave. He said he was super proud of me for starting school again and that I should get a good job so I don't end up like him. It felt like he was preparing to leave in some way. My dad always struggled in school and was always unhappy with his job. He was overworked and underpaid, so I knew he was depressed, but I never thought he'd do something until those 2 days before. He made me promise not to tell anyone what he did for me, so I was super anxious and scared. The next day, I talked to him about my thoughts, how I was concerned that he hadn't gone to work in the last week and stayed in bed. I asked if he was using up all his sick days, and he lied to me, saying he took time off in advance. I asked if he would talk to someone and get help, and he'd said he'd look into it. I said I was worried he was going to hurt himself and that I couldn't live without my dad. I poured my heart out to him, anything to change his mind or make him feel guilty. All caps, anything. I began to cry, and I hugged him. He started to laugh and said I was overreacting and getting snot on him. I felt relieved and I believed him because I wanted to be wrong. He said he was depressed but not suicidal. I made him promise me he wouldn't hurt himself and he said, I promise. The next morning, a police officer was at our door with the news. I felt so guilty, like I should have told my mom or someone or put him on watch. Most of all, I was so upset and angry that he lied to me and broke his promise. In my letter, he again said he was so proud of me, that I was smart and an amazing person. At the end, it looked like a different pen, like he added more later on. It said, I feel so bad for lying to you yesterday, and I'm sorry for breaking your promise. There's nothing anyone could have said or done. I feel so broken. I've been distracting myself and trying to be strong for my family, but it hits in waves. I can't forgive him, and I've never felt lost like this before. I'm trying to not feel guilty for not telling someone. Any advice?
Time.
Time and therapy.
Time, therapy, but there's grieving right now, and you can't feel guilty. You know, yes, your gut was telling you something, but you also really did believe that he was, you know, just having a rough time and he'd be fine. And, you know, I feel for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, losing someone on a with all the right reasons is tough, let alone the wrong reasons. So you just have to just give yourself a break, and you're going to have to just ride out this thing in time. And the whole will get better, and maybe you'll find some reason in your mind of what he was thinking and what he had was going through, whatever was his issues. I mean, it's ultimately it is him. It's not your life, it's his life. And yes, he was sharing you, he gave you life, and you were sharing your life with him. And we just don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
And you don't know the whole story as much as you may think that you do. So, I mean, I've certainly have had friends that have done similar things, and we found out later one had cancer that no one knew about. One had Lyme's disease, and he couldn't take the pain anymore. And he left, you know, two boys and a wife that loved him very much.
Mm-hmm.
But the pain was excruciating. And so different people have different things, that the way that they justify whatever they're doing. And again, I can't find the acceptance of it myself, but you know, it's out of our control.
It is. Well, and I think based on the paragraph we have, in that moment, you really did do everything you could. I mean, you did. You brought it up point blank. You told him he should talk to someone. I mean, you did all the right steps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 100% nothing to do with you. So I think the grief is one thing, the guilt is another, and both should definitely be worked on with therapy.
Mm-hmm. I think that one thing that he wants for you, he wants you to live a full life, and he wants you to have a life that for whatever reason he couldn't achieve. So being locked and being arrested, for lack of a better description or word, because of this right now, is the last thing that he wants for you. You know, he certainly had all the love in the world for you. And I understand what it is to have a father's love. I mean, yeah. I get that. But you definitely have to go on and live your life fully and become the best that you can become, because that's really one of the sacrifices that he really wanted to make, to make sure that you did it. And his energy's with us.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's focus on the good energy. You're going to have a lot of comments on this one too. So you were right. Got to read them all.
Yep, you do. And I think, obviously, again, this is for sure a big therapy one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our people are going to have some very helpful advice for you, probably having gone through similar things. So definitely read.
Okay, we're moving on to number four.
Okay, number four is one we put in to... you know, a little bit of a wholesome one to show you that your loved ones are forever with you and never truly lost.
I believe that.
So here we go.
Okay.
Wholesome one to kind of think about in regards to loss. Hola, Jerry, Morgan, Justin, and Holly.
She's here. And hola, back to you.
That hasn't happened in a long time. We say Holly and Holly's actually present.
Yes, I know. And someone wrote in a week ago or something, where's Holly? Is she okay?
Yeah.
And I said, she's fine.
Yeah, she's sleeping.
Yeah, she's going back to her mom's tonight. She's been with me for about 5 days now.
Yeah, it's a lot of Jerry.
I miss her, but I got her all clean. She's all ready to go. She's had two baths this week.
Okay.
Okay.
So here is maybe a little wholesome spiritual one for you.
Okay.
My grandfather was one of my favorite people. I love him so wholeheartedly, and he too loved his grandchildren. I was his first grandchild, so we had that special bond.
I think my niece Melissa must have written this one in. No.
Nope.
Okay.
Anyway, as a kid, he used to take those little tree pollen things. It's like those leaves that you can open and they are sticky, and put it on our nose. So it would make me laugh. After he passed, I would take it as a sign if one randomly ended up in my things. Anyway, a few weeks ago, his brother was visiting us and I had driven them to my uncle's house. I went back to grab my boyfriend and sister. We only have one car at the moment because mine got stolen. Anyway, on the drive back, I was cleaning out the seat my great uncle was in and randomly found one embedded into the seat. It wasn't yet the season for this. Anyway, I started tearing up. To me, it was him giving us a message that he was still here, watching over us and was happy. So maybe I am wrong. Maybe it is just a random coincidence, but I will go to the grave thinking there is an afterlife, even if only for the fact that it makes losing loved ones easier.
I'm with you, baby. I am with you.
Even my mom, who doesn't believe in the afterlife, was like, quote, oh my God, that was definitely my dad.
So I'm going to tell you a freaky story.
Freaky story.
This is a freaky story. First of all, absolutely, I'm with you. It is definitely your dad. And I always use the word accept it. My mother was a freak for See's Candy. No doubt. This woman would go anywhere. She, 3 times a week, she'd be going to the See's Candy store, buying See's Candy, and giving it to a gift when she would go to a card game, go to someone's home. She would always pass out the 2-pound box.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, she was a freak. Her life was two things. See's Candy and Mickey Mouse.
Yep. I was going to say Disney.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. And so we lost my mom in November of 2005. And it was about 6 months later, and 60 Minutes was on, or 2020. And they did a special on See's Candy, on the whole organization. And on video, on the show, they were showing making the candy, the story of May.
Yeah.
And everything, the whole aspect of the whole corporation.
Okay.
And then they took a tour. They took the camera and they went to a retail store. And they were showing people in line buying See's Candy. Now, my nephew in Washington, D.C. was watching this on a freak, and he was watching the thing on See's Candy because he found it interesting. And the next thing, he's doing a double take, and he's looking at the screen, and he says, oh, my God, that's Mother. We called my mom Mother, and
yeah.
So all the grandkids called her. And he goes, oh, my God. And sure enough, and he had recorded the show, and he's sending out splices of this to all of us.
Yeah.
And we looked at it and I go, holy shit, my mom is alive. Cause you, it's like, you don't realize they took this a year ago.
That's crazy.
But it freaks the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And I was saying, yep, she's here saying hi.
Wow.
So to think for a second that that thing just was there coincidentally, the universe is too huge. It's just too many magical things that go on. And you know, energy, they always say energy doesn't die, doesn't go away. Energy stays. It just reapplies itself somehow. So when you saw the little sticker, yes, it was definitely a message. And you keep going to me, are you going to leave me messages? And I go, oh yeah, you'll never have a moment's peace with me.
I feel like your message would all of a sudden, every tool I have will be scattered all over the place in my garage and I won't know where things are.
Yeah, well, that's the message I do now. It's an old habit. Anyway, so good story.
Yeah.
Good lift. And yes, I do believe that their energy stays with us and they always do play little tricks just to let us know that yeah. they love us and that we're okay and they're okay.
I think it'd be fun if everyone in the comments came in and said, for story four, here's my
story.
Yeah, here was a sign from my dad or mom or whoever.
I think that's great.
That'd be really cool. Really fun to read through.
So let's see what your stories are and your experiences.
Yeah.
My answer, my quick answer is accept it.
Yeah.
Accept.
Okay.
Another one of this week's partners is Lumi. I've been on two planes, sweat, in 80 degree weather, riding a couple horses. Oh, and the plane I was on didn't have AC. I sat on a plane on a tarmac for an hour without AC. You would think I would stink right now. But guess what? I smell fresher than ever thanks to my Lumi deodorant. Lumi is a deodorant that was made by an OBGYN. So not only can you use it on your pits, you can use it everywhere. And it lasts up to 72 hours. And because I just got stranded because my flight was delayed, I'm gonna put it really to the test. I'm gonna wear this deodorant for another 24 hours because they wouldn't give me my suitcase back. But you know what? I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about who's sitting next to me tomorrow because I know I will still smell okay thanks to my Lumi. So if you're ready to try it for yourself, Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off the starter pack. Use code FKS for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code FKS at LumiDeodorant.com. Thank you.
This is number five.
Trigger warning.
Yes, sir.
This story does contain talks of miscarriage and fertility struggles.
Okay.
My 25 male husband and I, 26 female, have been married for 3.5 years. We started trying for a baby pretty much right away. Unfortunately, we have had several pregnancies that ended in miscarriage. We found out last year that I have a unicornuate uterus. Basically, I only have half of one, and that is most likely why we've had so many losses. This has changed my entire perception of myself, and I've grown a lot of ill feelings towards my body. My mother-in-law brings this up to me constantly and makes me feel worse than I already do. Recently, she told me my babies were finally being replaced by my sister-in-law's soon-to-be stepkids. My husband generally ignored everything his mom says, but he went off about this one, and she has now said she, quote, never wants to see us again, and it's all my fault anyway. About an hour after he left the house, she texted me saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. Forgive me? Honestly, I don't even know how to respond. I feel defeated by my own body as it is.
I can't find an excuse for your mother-in-law. That is absolutely just insane. But we find out that sometimes mother-in-laws could be cruel, and I don't have the words for the behavior. But let's talk about you. You know, yeah. you've been dealt a problematic card. And I say problematic because obviously if you want to have a child and you want to have a child that was from your egg and your husband, then there's other avenues that are possible. I'm sure that you're looking into those possibilities. You may just decide to take an alternative way of getting a child. But needless to say, getting the child from the day the child is born to the rest of your life, That is the journey. I'm not saying that pregnancy isn't an important part, but I will say that the journey is the day they're born. That's where it really takes off. So the self-loathing is not going to be positive for any aspect of your life going forward. And this is just a bump in the road. As much as you may say a bump, this is a crater. It's a bump. And we'll get through, you'll get through it.
Yeah.
And you just have to keep pursuing forward and dealing with the issue. We all get things thrown at us in life. Our job, deal with them. Take the next best course, set the new tack, like if you're sailing, and you'll sail through the storm, and you will find happiness and calm waters ahead. So work with your husband. And don't let anyone else take control of your emotion.
Yeah.
You got enough to worry about just getting through this stuff, and keep a positive mental attitude, because that's the most important thing at all. And see where it takes you.
Yeah. I mean, your worth is not dependent upon your ability to have a kid. Mm-mm. Evolutionary. Sure, our purpose is to procreate and keep the species alive, but plenty of other people are doing so. So it's in no way a shot to who you are, or like a negative to who you are, because you can't physically have a kid. So, and honestly, I kind of think now a greater purpose of life is just to be happy and enjoy the time you have. Mm-hmm. With whatever challenges you may need to work through. I'm going to add the additional info here. Mm-hmm. I have several times contemplated leaving my husband since finding out. Not because of him or anything he does, but because I feel guilty that there is a good chance I'll never be able to give him a baby, and we had no idea when we got married.
Put that thought out of your mind right now. I can't even begin to address that thought in depth, but I will tell you, look at your options. We have options here.
That is true.
And start thinking about the options and lay them out, and then talk to your husband and give him the love and the respect that he would give you, to say, hey, we can talk about this and let's see where we can go with it.
So, yeah. I don't think necessarily someone will. Marriage isn't a pact or a contract that says, I'm marrying you because you have to give me a baby. It's a contract. It's weird calling it a contract, but technically it is. That says, I am your partner, I am your teammate, and I'm here to work through life with you. I want to do life with you.
I want to do life with you.
And so, yeah, maybe when you got married, sure, we didn't know this, but at this point in time, we now know it, and we're going to work through it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the mother-in-law stuff, that's like over here somewhere. You just got to focus on you, determine if you want to try at some alternative methods, and honestly, just find happiness with whatever you end up with.
Identify your options, all of them. Identify them.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go now to number six.
Forward.
Okay. Number six.
You don't get to say that often, huh?
No, but look at, I even know how to do it.
That is good. Yeah.
Very good, isn't it? Okay.
All right. Hey, everyone. I finally worked up the courage to write in and hear some advice on my issue.
It's about time. We've been waiting for your write-in.
I have been overweight my whole life, and I've worked hard to reduce that as much as I can. One of my biggest goals is to be a police officer and help connect with the community and build trust. However, because of my weight issues and self-esteem surrounding my weight, I constantly doubt myself on if I'm good enough. So far, I've made it through the initial physical testing, and I'm set to start the academy in April. However, these feelings have me in an extreme anxious state that I'm just not good enough despite going through every obstacle so far. I really don't know how to get these thoughts out of my head so that I can feel more confident in myself and feel proud of all the work I've put into myself thus far. Ideal outcome: to feel good about myself and be excited for the academy instead of being nervous that I won't be good enough.
All you can do is do your best. And don't let the negativity pull you down. Don't let the negativity beat you. In life, we have to go things and do our best, stay positive, and things will happen. Give it your all. And because for whatever happens, if something should fail in life, you can always say, I really did do my best. And if you didn't do your best, then that's where you people can start saying, I didn't do my best. I really did blow it. Yeah. So long as you do your best in every aspect of this, you can't have any negativity to fall back on because you did your best. And it was, and you either way, whatever happens, you will be fine because the next thing, the next experience that came from this experience will generate something positive in the next experience. Look, in the resume of every successful person, there is failure. And I've had my share. Let me tell you, I've had a business that went totally AWOL. I mean, it went out of control and it failed. But the one thing that I did do is I did my best.
Yeah.
I really worked hard at that business. I didn't say that I did all the smart things, but for me and what I knew at that time, it was my best. And that was the lesson.
Yeah.
And I've learned from it. And although that the business failed, I went on to succeed in other things. And you just don't know what life is going to take you, where it's going to take you and bring you.
It's part of the fun.
It is part of the fun. It is really riding the wave of life. And you are going to wipe out sometimes. And sometimes you're going to have the best curl around and you're just going to just yep. ride that board all the way in. And you may even find a shark or two in the middle of it.
That is true.
So, but we keep pressing forward.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to share with you. So don't despair. Don't bring negativity. Go at this because you've set your focus on it and make it happen.
Yep. One thing I'm really trying to do more is not try to over-control every aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. More to sit back. And obviously, like, I'm out there grinding. I'm not just going to coast and just be like, oh, whatever happens, I'm still going to do my thing. But I've started to reframe my thinking from having so much control to when things don't work out or something, some kind of failure, whatever it may be, I look at it more as, oh, it just wasn't a part of my story.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, as far as we know, mm-hmm. you get one shot at this life, one chance at this life. We don't know anything more or less. So all we know is that we have right now until we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a beautiful thing. And I think the hard part is we spend so much of our lives worrying and, you know, having more negative feelings than just sitting back and enjoying the fact that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really trying. It's hard. It's easier said than done, well, but I've been trying to do it more.
You're a planner and you set your goals and you set your focus. But the one thing that you are saying here is that if something doesn't go along with that plan, you don't lose your shit over it. You adapt and just say, I have there's a different direction that's going to come on and it's going to come this way and I'm going to have to redirect.
Right.
And that's positive still. That's a very positive attitude to take.
Yeah. And like, look at all the work you have done so far. You made it through the initial physical testing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the academy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be excited. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get amped up for this thing. Mm-hmm. It's, you can keep working on your health and your weight. That we all do that our entire lives. Mm-hmm. So just be excited for these steps ahead of you. Because also with the fact that, you know, you can take the fact that, oh, we only have this one life and you better do it right. That can be very, that can add pressure. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it in a different way, well, if this is all I got, then let's enjoy it. Let's go. And it's obviously easier said than done. I understand that. But let's find the beauty in the small things. For me, the smallest little things I'll notice make me the happiest.
And let's look at what a policeman's job or law enforcement job is. It's not just chasing the villain down the street. Big part of what's going on in police science today is really the understanding of the criminal and to solve the problem and to solve the case. And you may not realize that you have the aptitude that's going to come into this one area that you're going to find yourself that you are a specialist, not only a specialist, you can end up being the best person in the country in this kind of work.
Yeah.
You just never know until you get excited about the certain thing that you're going to learn. So go take it and go learn and see where it takes you.
Yeah.
And then you may even also find out because of the kind of person you are that In our society, we have had a history of bad cops. We have had issues. And next thing you know is that you find out that not only are you the good cop and just cop, but you're a great cop.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there you're going to find yourself in the service because being a police is a service to the community. And you're going to find your niche in that service.
Yeah, there's a lot of different avenues in there. I just want to add the additional info.
Okay.
Just to round us out and get your thoughts on that. My issues with self-perception come from my mom always belittling me as a child and putting me on yo-yo diets from the age of 7. She always looked down on me for being a chubby kid and called me ugly and compared me to other girls. For example, if I wanted to wear a cute tank top, she told me I would look ridiculous because of my fat arms and that tank tops are only for skinny girls like my cousin. Now I'm 23 and I still struggle to see myself in a better light. I do go to therapy, but it feels like this issue is like trying to push down a brick wall.
Let's work on the fact that you got in the academy, you're going for police science, and let's see where it takes you. And do not use the physicality of what you look like to judge who you are. Because yeah. that's unfair. You're being unfair to yourself. And because your mother and other people are so shallow out there that don't really get it, you know, I can't change those people. But what I can do is I can educate you. Don't let them change you. You focus on what's important. Your life job right now is to learn police science and to become a servant of the people. Get compensated for it and do a great fucking job at it, which means think outside the box, think what's going on out there and protect the people because trust me, we need it.
Yeah.
We have a criminal element in our society today that is epidemic. And it comes from the top. So my answer to you is, you go, girl. That's all I can tell you.
The issue to you is like a brick wall. That's how you're perceiving it. A brick wall, you can take down brick by brick. And I think that's how you should start to face this issue more, is you're not going to take down that entire wall with one swing. It's not, your problem isn't just going to go away like that. But the more you can work on just taking one brick away at a time, mm-hmm. I think the further you'll make it and you'll recognize that change of, even I'm talking within your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking physically like going and losing weight. I'm talking mentally confronting this problem mm-hmm. and this, you know, this trauma from your mom that was inspired by your mom from a young age. If you start cracking down at that one brick at a time, you will end up taking down that entire wall. It doesn't need to happen fast, but as long as you're always working on it, there's no negative.
Just be the best you can be and don't worry about the other shit. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
And you will see that no one else will control who or what you are, and you won't need to hide from them. You can be right out in front and be bold.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's our episode.
Yes, that's It Gets Better.
And do we have a Patreon that's going to follow?
I think so.
Okay, well, let's go. We'll say good night to you, and we'll see you next week. And please come join us on Patreon. And as I see on every one of the different platforms, when people are doing the YouTube and our podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button.
Yes.
Give us a thumbs up.
Yes.
Make your comments.
Really go make your comments.
Make your comments. And certainly watch our whole episodes. Always watch all of it. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.